Hello everyone, it's Claire. Just a heads up, this is my interview with Eric Linden, who is the stunt double for John Bernthal in The Punisher and also for Daredevil Season 2. Unfortunately, we had an issue with the recording at the start of this interview and lost about 5 minutes. And Eric was telling me all about how he actually unfortunately broke his ankle during the filming of The Punisher. You can actually spot the stunt in the show. It's when the Punisher jumps through a window. And Eric unfortunately broke his ankle doing that stunt, which is why duties of doubling for the Punisher was taken over by our previous guest, Justin Eaton. And that's why you see Justin sporting the Punisher vest in some of the pictures that I've posted. But Eric was an absolutely fantastic guest. Really generous with his time. It was an absolute pleasure to speak to him, but that's why the interview kind of goes straight into it. Anyway, I hope you enjoy it and speak to you guys later. The scenes I wanted to sort of really congratulate you on, I guess, two highlights definitely for me was one was from Daredevil, and as I mentioned, you were assistant stunt coordinator working with Philip Silvera, who I think he works on Deadpool as well, I believe. So you've been working with him, yes, on Deadpool, correct. As well? Cool. But it's the famous stairwell fight scene from season two, which is, in my opinion, just one of the best fight scenes ever put on television. It's just absolutely incredible. Yeah, it's, I mean, I never thought they were, you know, we could get a scene that would be the hallway scene from season one, but, you know, you guys did it. It was incredible. I just wanted to ask you a little bit about filming that scene, you know, and how it sort of came together, how, you know, with yourself and Philip.
Well, you know, That's I wish I could take more credit for that scene, but you know, that was completely Phil's vision.
Oh wow!
You know, I think, yeah. You know, Phil is something else, and he's actually has moved on to Terminator.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be stunt coordinating the new Terminator film. That's just a testament to, you know, the vision that he's had for this type of stuff. But, you know, I think it was, I'm not sure if it was the producers or the director or, you know, one of the higher ups really wanted to, do another, like, quote unquote, oneer. And, mm-hmm. You know, Phil kind of came to the idea of, well, what can we do different with a oneer and, like, make it bigger and better, than necessarily like a true oneer. And, trying to think of the film, like, you know, have you seen Birdman?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, some of that idea kind of came, I believe Birdman came out before that, but not too much before that. And, you know, they were really creative with how they did, like the transition. So they don't have to shoot the whole movie as a oneer. It's, you know, they're doing certain transition wipes and stuff like mm-hmm. that to kind of hide the cuts. So, Phil wanted to kind of take that to another level. And, you know, that's what they did. He was really strategic in planning where to do these wipes so that it appears as though it's one shot. And then you're able to do more complex gags and stuff like that. And it ends up being really spectacular. I think the main trick is being creative in where you hide that stuff so the audience can't tell when it's becoming, you know, Charlie versus Chris Brewster and stuff like that. So, you know, that was the basis behind that. And, you know, they liked the idea. So he went off to previs that. And it's funny when you get somebody so creative like that. And, you know, Brewster has that in his fight choreography where you're just like, wow, man, like, look at this guy go. Well, Phil's like that behind the camera and coming up with a lot of these movements and mm-hmm. driving the story forward. Because if you're not telling a story with the action, you're really just throwing a bunch of punches. So that's where Phil's strong point is being able to tell that story with that action. So, you know, he just kind of came up with where the character needed to go, the best way to highlight Charlie. And, you know, that it took a lot of work, and we were able to put wire work and stuff like that in there, get some of the nice, I know one of the producers was like, we want him to be going down the staircase as if he's like descending into hell.
Yeah.
You know, like that was part of the meetings, was we want to make it feel like Daredevil, you know, the devil is going down into hell. And so Phil took that and ran. I mean,
yeah.
He's the man. Is great as a visionary that Phil is, you know, Brewster is that in a performer, and so is Charlie. So it's really just a match made in heaven, and you know, that's what you end up getting.
That's so great. I think the fight scenes in these shows are so creative, and I just watch them and just, I do kind of analyze them and like, oh, you know, how did they do this and that? And that just makes me appreciate them, I think, even more. The other one I wanted to mention to you was in the finale of The Punisher. So obviously I know you weren't doubling for John at that point, but that was the carousel fight, which I think was so creative and so tense and just beautifully shot. And we actually spoke to the director of that episode, Steven Sergic, as well. It was just so well done. I just thought it was beautiful, and such tension in that with them going around this, you know, it's a carousel, you know, you just don't think it would be that scary. How was your involvement in sort of coming up with that? Did you have to work with Steven much in sort of coming up with shots and...
Well, you know, when it got down to that point in that episode, things were very, very, very busy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people were being pulled in all different directions. Of course, Tom, the stunt coordinator, and mm-hmm. I sat in with Steve and, you know, got some of his, you know, opinions and what he wanted to highlight. And, you know, Steve Lightfoot is obviously like, great at telling us, you know, mm-hmm. he's not so picky on like, I want somebody to throw a punch with the right hand. He's like all about the story and what we need to get on screen. And then, he gives us the freedom to be creative. So, you know, Tom was very busy with his schedule and covering stuff on episode 12. So the initial thing was for me and the fight coordinator, Evan, to kind of, you know, come up with this. And that's why I was being the assistant stunt coordinator to kind of help, you know, be Tom's right hand man.
Yeah.
And so we come up with a story and how it's going to work and the choreography of the piece to try to make it different and still exciting. And then we show that to Tom, and, you know, he gives us his tweaks and his suggestions. And then we go in there and we film it. It was great. The production actually got us the location. So we went and pre-vised at the actual carousel.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
And, you know, I think when you talk about Jigsaw, it's always like, oh, you know, he gets thrown through a glass window.
Yeah.
Or it was like, oh, he gets smashed into the mirror. Well, it was like, okay, that's what's being said or what's supposed to happen, but how do we make that different?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, maybe, you know, he's trying to use his knife to be able to, you know, his hidden blade to get the upper hand on Frank, and it actually works because he's a slippery, evil type of character.
Mm.
And, you know, then that breaks some of the mirror and gets, you know, Frank's able to get the upper hand. And then he doesn't just use one mirror, you know, he's working him around that entire carousel, smashing his head into things. And it's like, well, what if you do just smash his face? And it's like, no, let's punch his head into it. Let's like rake his face down the broken glass.
That was one of the most painful things I've ever seen, that it would look so painful.
Yeah. Well, we were all sitting around in a circle trying to think like, what would be the gnarliest thing you can do? And I actually came up with the raking his face down. I tried to explain it. Everybody was just like, huh? And I was like, it'll be like a cheese grater. And everybody just goes, oh, my God. And I mean, we were all spitballing, and everybody had great ideas. But that's, you know, that kind of, everybody loved it. And that's what we went with. And I feel like it's just, in the show, it just feels really painful. And you feel like that is going to do the damage that would be reflected if and when Jigsaw does come back.
Yeah, because, I mean, just throwing him through a window might not necessarily do that much damage. It's like the repeated impacts and the, like you said, raking him across the mirror is just, oh. My co-host, yeah, Tammy, well, is, oh, sorry, go on.
Oh, well, I was just going to say that, you know, yeah, it's not only is it making it reflect the damage that ultimately needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that was, you know, the mirror being a reflection of Billy and you know, a reflection of Frank, but also, you know, showing the rage that Frank has because of what's done to him. And, you know, it couldn't be just so simple as just slamming his head into glass, you know.
Yeah.
It's needed to, like, have more to it.
As soon as you saw that, I saw that scene start where they're at the carousel and knowing who the character of Billy Russo, you know, turns out to be, and I saw the mirrors on the carousel, I was clapping my hands in anticipation. I was so excited because I was like, oh, your face is going into those mirrors, Ben Barnes.
Yeah.
My co-host Tammy is not very good with anything violent or with sort of gore. I'm a lot better. I'm a big, like, horror movie fan. So most of the stuff, so she was watching sort of through her fingers, but most of the stuff I was fine with, but the raking the face across the glass was, I think, the one time I really winced in the whole show, and I had to turn away because, oh, that looked painful. So with John Bernthal, obviously with doubling with him, I'm guessing that he has had quite a bit of experience in doing stunts, with obviously his past in The Walking Dead, and he's done films such as Fury as well and Baby Driver. How is he with stunts? Yeah. Does he sort of throw himself in and, you know, leave himself open to suggestion?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I can't even say enough good things about John. I've worked with a number of actors. And I've been fortunate enough to say that I haven't worked with anybody who I did like, mm-hmm. but there's people that just come off as John just is really like one of my friends, you know, mm-hmm. like he's a great guy. He's like a bro. And he just really wants to make the best thing possible, not only for himself, but he wants to be able to pull things off for the stunt team the way that we envision them. And he also wants the fans to get what they, not only really what they want, but what they deserve, mm. you know, because the Marvel fans are such fanatics, that carries a heavy weight on his shoulders. And he just constantly wants to train. He wants to lift weights. He wants to, you know, train with the guns. He wants to get in there as much as possible, even though his schedule is crazy. He makes time on his lunch break to come and train, you know, the choreography of the fights. Mm. He really is all in. He's got a boxing background. He used to box early on. So the guy can already move. He can already throw punches. He's got a brain on him. Like the guy walks on the set and never needs to pick up the script. Like, he's got it dialed from the very minute he walks on set, never messes up a line. And he's the same way with choreography. He's just got this memory that once he kind of gets it into his muscle memory, I mean, he can just do it and then not necessarily focus on the choreography. He's able to then focus on being that character and letting the choreography just happen. I mean, the dude's awesome.
That, I guess, with that as well, it makes your job easier, that you've got someone who's so keen to you know, to do what he needs to do and to work with the team and everything. Because, like you said, it must be difficult if you've got, you know, people who just don't want to learn.
Yeah, you know, the job definitely isn't easy, but having John around makes the job enjoyable.
Yeah, no, definitely. I wanted to ask you as well, we mentioned, I actually spoke to one of the makeup artists on the other shows. She was commenting on Twitter about The Punisher, and I just said to her, so much fake blood. I've never seen so much fake blood in my life in The Punisher. And I spoke briefly before as well to Lauren Mary Kim, who doubles for Elektra, about the fake blood, because there's a scene where she's in a vat of blood. Like, how is it just trying to do sort of stunts and work and stuff and just covered in this, like, blood? Because there's so much blood in this series. It just, I was just thinking, these poor guys. Yeah.
Yeah. it's really sticky. Actually, like as cool as it looks, I find it quite annoying just because it's very sticky and you just feel like you've got like goop on you all day. But I mean, it definitely is a factor, especially when they're freshening up blood all the time. You really got to be careful that make sure it doesn't get all over the floor. And it's not because we care about the floor. It's because we don't want the actor, you know, slipping, or a camera guy who's moving, paying attention to the shot to, you know, go down or something like that. It definitely adds a bit of a little extra factor of difficulty, but I mean, what you get with having that much is just so great. I remember at one point, you know, I think John was getting, you know, tortured, and they would kind of like take a squirt bottle and like spray some fake blood in his mouth. And at one point he just kept going like more blood, you know? And so they just had to give him a cup. Because the little bottle, the bottle wasn't enough, so they literally just filled up a cup, and you would just take a big drink of it. I mean, but yeah, that stuff's so much. It ends up being so much fun, you know.
Yeah, I bet. Like when you're sort of waiting around between scenes and stuff, if you're walking around, if people just happen to see you, they'll be like, "What the hell happened to that guy?" Which would be fun as well.
Yeah, first couple episodes. By the time you're deep into the episodes, everybody's like, oh, yeah, there's a bunch of blood, whatever.
I wanted to ask you as well a quick bit about, I know for some of your projects, such as Thor, The Dark World, and the Deadpool sequel, you've done motion capture work. Is that for, sort of, as you were saying before, like pre-vising, doing pre-vis for fights, so they can then... work on that like an animatic almost for staging the fights, or is that for a motion capture, sure, as in that we'll be then CGI'd, like they'll CGI in like the, say, the Deadpool suit, you know, over that, or for whoever it is, or is it sort of a bit of both?
Actually, it's exactly both. And for Thor, you know, Phil Silvera actually was in charge of choreographing and stunt coordinating the it's the prologue sequence for Thor the Dark World.
It's a battle scene, right?
It's the big battle scene where I can't think of the bad guy's name, but he, you know, when he is first introduced at the beginning of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was shot after Thor had finished, and a separate studio, I believe Blur Studios, was doing all the CG work on it. So the stuff that we did in the motion capture is in the movie. So, I mean, I could be anywhere up to, you know, 15 different guys in that just because we were motion capture. And I believe there's like maybe 8 of us in there doing it. But we end up being all of the characters, you know. But then when it comes to Deadpool, Deadpool actually... Part 2 was with Tim Miller directing, and, you know, Phil Silvera was coordinating. That we started working on the animatics, which was going to be the previs, a very complex previs of what was going to be Deadpool 2. And, you know, there were some things that obviously was in the news between, I think it was the director and, you know, maybe Ryan Reynolds or the studio, just like creative differences. So obviously they moved on from that. So we didn't have much to do on Deadpool 2 outside of some concept designs, which I'm assuming are probably been moved to the side. You know,
so right.
the new stunt coordinator and new director are going to have their own take on things, which I know those guys, Dave Leach and 8711 Group. And I mean, they are at the top of the game and they are fantastic. So I'm a huge fan of Deadpool, and I can't wait to see what they do with it.
Yeah, I know Philip Silvera moved to the Terminator film because he has worked a lot with Tim Miller, I think. I think he mentioned that to me on Facebook. Yeah. So that makes sense, but I don't know all the details of what's going on with Deadpool at the moment. You know, you just sort of hear bits and pieces. He's such a fun character. That first film was great. Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I think it's coming out this. Yeah, it's coming out this year, isn't it?
Yeah, they're done filming that. I think that was up in Canada, and you know, I'm sure that thing's going to be awesome. And you know, Tim Miller got hooked up with James Cameron. I think they've been buddies for a while, which that's Not everybody can say that. That's pretty amazing. And James is going to, you know, let him run the Terminator thing. So I'm excited to see what those guys do with that.
Yeah, definitely.
I think they start filming in March or something like that for Terminator.
Oh, it's so exciting. So obviously you mentioned about Deadpool, and it sounds like you're obviously a fan of movies as well, which obviously is your, you know, movies and TV is your industry anyway. Had you read were you familiar with the comic book characters or Marvel or anything before you worked on Daredevil Season 2?
Oh, big time. Big time.
I'm high-fiving you through Phil... the phone, Eric.
yeah, you know, Phil... is a he's a real study when it comes to this stuff. I mean, the guy has got stacks of comic books, and I'm not quite that fanatic. However, I mean, I've been a fan of action movies since I've been, you know, 5 years old,
mm-hmm.
and was pretending I had a lightsaber, and you know, I was throwing a frisbee in the yard like it was a Tron disc, and so that's been something that's been part of my whole life. So the superhero genre has always been, I've been all about it. You know, huge fan of Superman and all the Marvel stuff. It's really, you know, and I've done my own research and read some comic books, but not to an insane extent. But yeah, I feel like I knew the characters very well, knew who Deadpool was before it came out, and, you know, love that I'm part of the Punisher. I mean, there was never in my wildest dreams thought that was going to be that guy, you know?
that's awesome. I mean, it must be, you know, just the dream role if you've grown up sort of loving like superhero films, you know, or anything like that, as you said, just to be involved in a project like that, you know, it's great. And also we're in sort of the golden age of superhero films now. And I hear, you know, I hear people saying, oh, there's too many coming out. And I'm like, bring it on. I would be happy to see one every week. I'm so thrilled at how many different superhero films we're having at the moment, and ones that are delving into different genres. Like you've got the New Mutants, which looks like a horror film coming out. You've got Black Panther, which looks incredible. You know, it's just a good time to be a superhero fan.
Oh, I'm right with you. Like, I don't feel like that there's too much. I mean, as long as they're done well, I feel like, you know, DC is kind of like stumbled. But as long as things are done well, the more the merrier. I'm never going to get sick of it. You know, looking forward to Avengers 2 or Infinity War coming out. And I mean, I love Doctor Strange and you know, Thor Ragnarok was fantastic.
Oh, so, definitely.
I love it. I love it. It's great. And I hope there's doesn't look like there's any end in sight. So that's good news for us.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm hoping it's like the same with the TV. So I mean, my fingers are crossed that Netflix will do a Moon Knight series, because Moon Knight is a character I love and I think would be incredible in that, you know, with in the same sort of format as the other shows have been. But yeah, I mean, we've got like season 2 of Jessica Jones and Iron Fist and Luke Cage and season 3 of Daredevil, and we're so spoiled. Marvel is spoiling us and I love it. So I wanted to ask you as well about if you wanted to tell me a bit about Action Factory, because according to my research, you are the fire expert in Action Factory. And I presume this is, you spoke about your partner earlier. This is what you work on together?
Yeah. Yes. That guy that I started helping me out early on. You know, his name's Jason Domenico. Mm-hmm. I met him on set, and you know, we just were fast friends. And you know, I was telling him I was interested in training. He kind of wanted to know a little bit about my background, and I told him I did graphic design and designed websites. And lo and behold, this guy needs a website. So. I was like, hey, how about I build you a website and you teach me how to do air rams and light myself on fire? And, you know, the rest is history. So we became partners. There's another partner, Joe Ross, who's involved. And to be fair, you know, I think Jason is the, you know, if I'm a fire expert, Jason is a fire master. you know, he's the Yoda of fire. And, you know, Joe is right up there at the expert level as well. You know, we broke the world record for longest fire burn. I think it was in, I think it was like 2014 or something like that.
Oh, congratulations. Belatedly, four years late, but congratulations.
We're in the Guinness Book of World Records.
That's amazing.
You know, and Action Factory has just become a stunt company that provides, you know, rigging and, you know, wire work services. We also have rental services for, like, stunt coordinators that may need fire gear. They may need rigging gear or pads or something like that. So it's a great venue for stunt performers all around the world to get all of the stuff that they could possibly need. And then we also, you know, do the coordinating and stuff like that as well. So not only are we a resource for stunt people, we're also a resource for production companies as well.
Excellent. I know I was really getting into it. I was like reading about all the different products and, you know, that are available and everything. And I was thinking, I want to do this stuff. But I think it's a bit too late for me. I mean, as you'll probably appreciate from coming from graphic design, I do illustration. So I spend way too much time sitting at a desk to be active enough to do any of this stuff.
it's a give and a take for sure.
Yeah, definitely. So what would you say is your favorite part of doing the job? Because obviously you've done sword work, fire. I saw a clip of you from True Blood where you were on fire. I think you were doubling for, I can't remember his name, Stephen. Oh, his name's gone out of my head.
Correct.
Stephen Moyer. Which was really incredible, while Deborah Ann Moore was looking on very scared, which was a great clip from True Blood. Obviously, you've done car work as well. I mean, is there a favorite part of your job that when you see that's coming up, you just think, yes?
I think, I'm just in love with the fight choreography stuff now. I truly love like performing that type of stuff. But I think the best part about the job, at least for me, is that there's no monotony. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing the same thing every day. It's always a new challenge. I end up in new places. The schedule is always different. Maybe I'm getting up very early or possibly staying up very late. So there's not too much of an opportunity to get bored. Mm-hmm. And that was the problem with my old profession, I think. So it's just keeping life exciting as far as, doing different things, seeing new places, meeting new people. But specifically the stunt part of it is I get the most excited when we have an opportunity to be creative. Mm-hmm. And that's really in the process of coming up with the choreography, the action design, and you know, shooting the pre-visualization of scenes, because it's an opportunity to not only be creative, but also show somebody else, hopefully something that they haven't seen, and the director, the higher ups, and trying to impress them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's great for somebody to kind of give you the old, like, hey man, that was really great. Like, we really took this in a direction that we didn't know was possible. And, you know, them just being thankful. I feel like that's the most fun. And a lot of that kind of takes place in the rehearsal space or the gym.
I guess that's as well. It's the, satisfaction of like pushing yourself in, you know, ways you might have thought you wouldn't be able to, or solving a problem creatively is always very rewarding, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's just it's problem solving is exactly right.
So I've got a question that I have to ask you, because I've asked Chris Brewster and I asked Laura Mary Kim and I asked Justin Eaton, and I will get told off by my co-host if I don't ask you as well. Very important question. Did you have a favorite Ninja Turtle growing up?
Oh, favorite Ninja Turtle?
Yeah.
For some reason, I was always partial to Leonardo,
okay.
And I a lot of it was you know, I guess looking into it now, you know, getting into stunt coordinating and stuff, like I always wanted to kind of be the leader. and also, like, I've always been in love with swords.
Yeah.
Call it, you know, lightsabers, you know, from 300 swords to Conan the Barbarian. So I identified with Leonardo, I think, and, you know, his katanas.
Did you do any work with katanas? Like, have you done any sort of training with those?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Like, pretty much any type of sword. My favorite sword is more of a Spartan sword, a little bit shorter,
mm-hmm.
because I feel like you move much faster with it, and I love having the shield as well.
Oh, nice. A friend of my sister's, yeah. Her husband does sword training, so he does, you know, studies all different types, and I haven't been to her house, but my sister says if you go around their house, you know, they've got all the swords on the wall you can imagine, which is pretty cool. I have one sword which I bought in Thailand, and I have no idea what type of sword it is. I just thought it was cool. I wanted to ask you as well about the projects you have coming up. Obviously, I don't want to keep you too long. You've been really generous with your time. But one of the projects you have, we spoke a little bit about, obviously, your work on Deadpool 2. But you've got a really exciting project coming up with Stephen DeKnight, who obviously did Daredevil Season 1, which is Pacific Rim Uprising. Is there anything you can mm-hmm. tell us about that without letting any yeah. info slip that you shouldn't?
Yeah, sure. It's you know, that's another one of those things where Phil was coordinating that, mm-hmm. and he is good buddies with Stephen DeKnight and from Daredevil. You know, he wanted I believe Stephen wanted Phil to coordinate that show, but the show was going to go to Australia. Mm-hmm. And it was going to take a very, very long time. Right when that was starting to get going, it was going to overlap with Deadpool 2.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Phil had committed to Tim Miller, and is him and Tim are great buddies. So it was like, hey, Phil is like, I can't go for the whole show, but I sure would love to concept some fights for you. Steven said, well, I'm going to take you up on that. And he gave us, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks to pre-viz and do motion capture for the robot battles.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we did. So that was given to Steven. And, you know, Phil concepted a couple of battles. I can't really probably be specific on it. And I'm not sure how much they used of it. But I know DeKnight was stoked with what Phil was able to come up with, and it was obviously in motion capture. So we only were on that for, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, and then he needed to move on to Deadpool 2, and then we know how that mm-hmm. story ended. But DeKnight went to Australia and filmed the rest of that. And the trailer that just came out, there are quite a few shots that we did in the preview.
Oh, cool.
So that was awesome to see them make it into the trailer, and they're going to be in the movie. I'm sure some of the choreography might have changed just out of necessity or difference of opinion, but, you know, there were some very specific shots. I think one's where the guy has the robot has two swords,
he's
getting launched backwards, and he's using the buildings to slow himself down. So that was straight out of the Phil Cervera brain.
That's cool. So when you see the final film, like, you can look at some of the giant robots and go, that's me, I'm that giant robot.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, that's awesome. And then one of the other projects that you have coming up I wanted to ask you about, which I believe you are stunt coordinator on, is a film called Tag, which I didn't know anything about, but I was reading about it, and it sounds really cool. And it's got an awesome cast. It's Jon Hamm, Rashida Jones, and Jeremy Renner, I think. And that's out this year,
yeah,
I believe.
It's going to be awesome. You know what's funny is I just saw it.
Oh, cool.
Yesterday.
Yeah,
the director, you know, I actually second unit directed that film as well. And, you know, came up with all the action and stuff like that. Me and the director are good buddies. So he invited me to come check out a screening of it. And I can't really say too much, but it was awesome.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be a big hit. But the movie is based on a real story.
Oh, okay.
There actually are, yeah, it's crazy. There are real guys that started playing tag, the regular game of tag back when they were children, and continued to play through high school, which was really ridiculous. It got to where they're punching each other and things like that. And this is all fact. I'm not telling you anything that's out of the movie. I think it's tagbrothers.com or something like that.
They
got a website. And so they did that. And then when they got to college, they were like worried that they weren't going to see each other because they were all going to different cities. And they were like, well, let's just keep playing tag. And they decided to make, I think it was like the month of May or something like that, tag season. So the rest of the year, everybody was safe. But during the month of May, they would play tag and they would travel to different cities to like sneak up on each other and play tag. And whoever ended up it at the end of, 12 o'clock at the end of May, was it for the rest of the year. And they would make fun of them. And so this was carried on. And literally, I met one of these guys. They still play.
Oh, and that's so crazy.
They're like in their 50s. Yeah. So the movie's going to be, it's going to be a heartwarming comedy. And, I think it's going to be one of the surprise hits of the summer. It's a great concept. It's going to be funny.
Oh, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing it. I was really intrigued by seeing that. So, I'm there. I'm going to buy a ticket. I don't want to keep you for much longer. I wanted to ask you sort of where people can follow you online. Obviously, when we spoke, you sort of said you don't really do Facebook. Do you have Twitter, Instagram, anything like that? Obviously, you've got your website, which I will promote for you, ericlinden.com.
Yeah, all of my, Twitter and Instagram is really the stuff I'm more active on, and both of those are just at Eric Linden.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty simple.
Cool. Yeah, and there's you can see like some of your demo reels and stuff on IMDb, and there's news and stuff on your website as well, which is definitely worth checking out. Thank you so much for chatting. I've kept you slightly over, I'm sorry.
No problem.
It's been so cool to talk to you. Honestly, I'm so in awe of the work you guys do in these shows. And as I said, so thankful for your small part in the big machine that is bringing these characters that, I love and so many people, other people love to the screen and making it so enjoyable for us to watch. So a big thank you from myself and our listeners.
Oh, awesome. Well, thank you so much for all you guys do and your enthusiasm. And I appreciate you having me on. That was great.
No, definitely. Thank you so much. And I will obviously let you know once the episode is up. And just best of luck with everything you've got coming up in the future. And I really look forward to seeing. I mean, Pacific Rim, obviously I'm going to go and see Tag. I really want to go and see. So, and I hope we see you in one of the other Marvel shows in the future as well.
Yeah, definitely. That sounds good. And happy to talk anytime. So
cool.
We'll do it again.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks, Eric.
Okay, take care.
Cheers. Have a good day. Bye.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening. You can comment and send feedback to us by emailing defenderspod@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/defenderspodcast or on Twitter @defenderspod. Defenders Podcast is created under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives, 3.0 Unported International License. That means you can share it, you can send it to your friends, you just can't make any money off of it. You can't change it, and you have to link back to us and our site. Excelsior!